So, Rabbeisai, we continue here in Shar HaTshuva, in Rabbeinu Bechaya, in Chayus Levavos. And we learned last time the introduction, and now he tells us that there are reasons why a person, there are various reasons why a person becomes distant from the Rabbeinu Shlomo. Tshuva means to return. That means that a person was distant. Now, why in the world would a person become distant from the Rabbeinu Shlomo? How can you become distant from the Rabbeinu Shlomo? Rabbeinu Shlomo, think you have a good friend. Think of a person in the world you love spending time with. Think of who you love spending time with, if anybody. Some people don't even like spending time with themselves. If you don't like yourself, you probably don't like anybody else. But if you can think of somebody you like to spend time with, if you could spend a couple hours, then you'd love it. So my son last night was smarty on the Chaper Ryan, so he offered to give a ride to Rabbi Matzil Solomon, taking me to speak somewhere. So my son had him all to himself for an hour in the car, captive audience. So I'm sure if you love a person like that, you'd love to spend time with him. My son would be glad to spend 2 hours with him. Wouldn't be the mind to be on a desert island with him. And hopefully, I'm sure you love spending time with your wives. You can't get enough of your wives. You know, spending hours and hours. And if you can't take a ride with Matzil Salman, I'm sure that your wives are the ones you'd love to spend hours and hours with, and you'd love to be stranded on a desert island with your wives. Because who else would you like? Don't take along any svarim, no earphones and listening to tapes and stuff. You gotta talk to her now. Look at her, please. Just make, you know, she's there. So, someone you love, you want to spend time with, and talk to, and share with. So geschmack, so lucky to have this person. Ah. So, nothing can be more geschmack than the Rabbeinu Shlomo. Maybe you love spending time with your parents. Some people do, some people don't. Maybe you like spending time with your children. Some people do, and some people don't. But we should love to spend time with the Rabbeinu Shlomo. Some people don't. They run out of shul. They come here late and they leave here early. And even while they're here, they're someplace else. So tshuva means that we have become distant and alienated from the Rabbeinu Shlomo again. Hard to understand why. Why wouldn't a one person be close to Hashem? So he says, either, there's two ways to become alienated. Either Hashem commanded us to do a lot of mitzvahs to make him happy. It's actually to make us happy, but it looks like we're making him happy. And we fail to do those things. We fail to see the value in wearing tzitzis all day. Why should I bother wearing tzitzis? Why should I bother? Why should I check my tefillin? Why should I bother with mezuzahs all over the place? One mezuzah on my front door is good enough. At work, new mele. So why should I bother? So you can either become distant from Hashem, because you have been oblivious to the positive mitzvahs whereby Hashem has said, we can get strongly bonded if you do this mitzvah. Or a person become alienated from Hashem because we downright defy him and rebel against him and do things that we know Hashem will be kaviyachal angry and upset and disappointed. We really loved Hashem and had a real relationship. Wouldn't want to disappoint them. Who wouldn't want to hurt them? So, he says, it sounds so, what he's saying now, this, he devotes a whole chapter to this, it's almost like hard to understand why he's trying to tell us this. He says, listen, if the reason why you alienated from the Rabbeinu Shlomo is because you didn't do the positive mitzvahs, and you just withdrew from him, and you didn't care to cement your relationship with positive good deeds, so from now on, you have to do those good deeds. And if the reason why you're alienated from Hashem is, no, good deeds you do all the time. You're great. Tefillin, talis, tzedakah, davening, Shabbos, candles, you're good at that. You have no problem with all that stuff. The positive stuff with God, you like. Shabbos, shalom, what's wrong with that? Go to shul, hear great speeches, what can be better? Shabbos, I have no problem with Shabbos, I have no problem with tefillin. I come to shir, great entertainment this year. Free. There's no dial-up charge of, you know, $21 a month for AOL. You just come, you have a shir, a machaya. But it's those negatives, to stay away from the aveiros, those are hard. The positive stuff I do very well, but those negatives, Chaim doesn't think it's such a bargain. I don't think the shir is such a bargain. It's not so free, huh? So, the kids, negatives, that you have a problem with the negatives, you can't help yourself, that you like stuff that Hashem said you shouldn't like. I like it, Hashem. You say it's bad, I think it's pretty good. I happen to like the things you say we shouldn't eat, and the things we shouldn't see, and the things we shouldn't think, and the things we shouldn't say. I happen to particularly like Lashon Hara, and I happen to like all of my thoughts and lookings and visions and everything, and I like to have a hefker life. And I don't like to be told what to look at, and what to think about, and what to talk about. So that's enough. So if that's your problem, so you got to discipline yourself. He says, like a doctor, there's two kinds of situations that make people sick with their diet. One thing that can make you sick is that you don't eat enough nutritious food. You just don't like that wholesome, delicious veggies. So you just don't like spinach, and you don't like broccoli, if you can check it carefully. And you don't like to eat good food. You don't like steaks. You only like to gorge on smorgs and be in these tables. You like the sweets. You like the junk food. And you just love drinking soda. So you just don't have enough positive good food. So the doctor says your diet is deficient and you don't have enough vitamin B and enough vitamin C. You're going to die of scurvy. You're going to die of rickets. You're going to die of all kinds of stuff. So you better supplement your diet with good, nutritious food. That's like the person who's not doing mitzvahs. He doesn't have enough spiritual nutrition. Or a person can be dying from his diet because he's eating downright bad foods. Foods full of cholesterol, foods full of all kinds of nasty stuff. And he's eating food that's full of fat and full of carbohydrates, it's full of diabetic stuff, and full of sugar. So you have to stop doing that. So you have to look at it the same way. You have to stop gorging on that virus. It's going to catch up with you. It's going to catch up. You don't think for a second, you keep on smoking and smoking and smoking, it's not going to catch up with you. You will get lung cancer. You will get emphysema, Rahman Islam. You'll get it. So you got to wean yourself off that stuff. So we have to wean ourselves off aveiros. And he says, the Navi Yirmiyahu compares aveiros to bad diet, bad food. And he brings various psukim for that. That's Perek Aleph. Okay. Perek Beis. Perek Beis says, the Hilik of Chavos Levavos. There are three kinds of tshuva. This is a bit of a novelty. There are three kinds of tshuva. One tshuva is worthless, one tshuva is kumsi kumsa, and one tshuva is great. Worthless tshuva. Worthless tshuva is that a person does a sin, and whenever the Yetzara confronts him with an aveira, he cannot hold himself back. He never holds himself back. And if he does the aveira, he says to himself, "Oh, that was disgusting. I'm such a low life. I'm a worthless, good piece of garbage. What do I do this aveira? How can I do this aveira? I feel like 2 cents. This is disgusting. And I really have regrets over it. I have terrible regrets. And this person absolutely, positively stays away from this aveira as long as aveira never presents an opportunity to him. So he just." He will not talk Lashon Hara until the next time he picks up the phone. He's mamash guaranteed. He's doing tshuva, shleim Lashon Hara, as long as he doesn't meet anybody. So he leaves that last Lashon Hara, 2.5 hours, pure gossip, character assassination. Dolph thinks about this guy, I'll never get a business, so no one will ever hire him. I'm terrible. I will never do this again. And you know, for the next hour, as he walks along the forest, feeling terrible by himself, he is not doing this. He's not doing it. He's driving down the Palisades. He doesn't even have a cell phone with him. He is not speaking Lashon Hara. I am about tshuva. I am never speaking Lashon Hara again until he gets to his office and the phone rings. And there we go. That tshuva, he says, is absolutely, positively worthless. But you know, that's the tshuva of most people. They feel so good about themselves. I'm about tshuva. Oh, Rabbi, I feel into it. In the car, I was crying nonstop. From my house to work, I cried a whole time about my Lashon Hara, about my aveiros, about the other sins I do, the things I do. I get so angry, I'm so nasty, I'm so mean, I'm so selfish. I was crying the whole way. You'd be proud of me, Rabbi. Rabbi, if you would have seen me cry in the car over there nonstop, I could hardly see through my glasses. It was just, I was pretty impressed by myself too. I was pretty impressed. I didn't think I had it in me, but boy, was I crying. Really, gewalt. Of course, the minute the next temptation presented itself, the person went right back to the old ways, and to this person, the Navi Yirmiyah says like this. This is what Navi Yirmiyah calls this person. The Pasuk Yirmiyah, Perek Zion, Pasuk Tes. The Navi says, Haganov, Ratzoach, Vinaof, Vishaveya, Lasheker. Do you think you can steal and murder and commit adultery and swear falsely and cheat people? And then you come in front of me in the Beis HaMikdash, Asher Nikra Shmi Alav, the house which my name is dedicated to me. V'amartem Nitzalni, say, oh, I'm a Baal Tshuva, look at me. I don't go to movies, I don't go to X-rated videos, I don't do this kind of stuff. I'm in the Beis HaMikdash, I'm a great person. I never go to Blockbuster, I never go to the wrong places. Look at me. I'm in the Beis HaMikdash, I'm a holy Jew. So, Nitzalnu Laman Asosas called Eves Eilah. I'm saved, I don't do these two Eves anymore. Hamo'oras paritzim hoya abayas azeh, asher nikrish be a love. Is my Beis HaMikdash then a den of thieves, a cave, refuge for thieves? You know, thieves, when they get back to their cave, they don't steal. They're very honest among themselves, they don't steal from one another. In the cave, when they come back after the last heist, and they hide in their cave, they're very honest. They're doing any stealing. They're very honest. They're Bali Tshuva. They have a Meyer, they have a Milchah, they clap al Chayt, they say Slichas. Because there's no one to steal from over there. It's a cave. So you come to the Beis HaMikdash, here, there's nothing, there's no one that knows it. No one else is going to talk Lashon Hara to you in the Beis HaMikdash, of course. No one talks Lashon Hara in the Beis HaMikdash. And there's no other temptations in the Beis HaMikdash. So, of course, you're a big tzaddik in the Beis HaMikdash. That's a tzaddik. That's Tshuva. Is this a den, a refuge for thieves? Is that all it is? You're not a thief, you don't want to steal from. It might be tempting to do a little pickpocketing. I don't know if they had pockets in those days. But, so you're a good guy to make some mixture, you're a big tzaddik. Shkoyach. Worthless. You have no points whatsoever. You're only fooling yourself. You're not about tshuva. You're not even beginning tshuva. It's nothing. It's absolutely self-deception. So you do have Eretz all day, come to shul, you have Mincha Maariv, you come to a shir. I'm a great guy. I don't miss anyone Rabbi Foyer shir. I'm his biggest, Rabbi Foyer, I wouldn't miss a shir for anything for him. I go to everything. What are you talking, me? I look down. Those guys over there, they're a bunch of idiots. They don't even come to shir. I'm a tzaddik. These guys never step foot into a shir. They don't come to daven mitzibra. I daven mitzibra all the time. They don't daven mincha mitzibra. I'm a big tzaddik. These guys don't daven mincha mitzibra. I daven mitzibra. I come to shul. I'm a good guy. No, you're not a good guy. Because you're not in shul, you don't go come to Averis. Just because you come to shul and come to a shir doesn't make you a tzaddik. The shul is just your refuge because your conscience is bursting from total guilt. You're about to die from total shame if you still have a little decency. So you run to shul to feel good about yourself. You have a little neshama massage. Shkoyach. So go nisht. Hate to say it, it's worthless. Boy, if I keep on talking like this, I have a great Rebbe. I was a great chassid of Avigdor Miller. Avigdor Miller always periodically had membership drives. He drives away the members. He just wanted to drive them away. We have membership drives. Just drive them away. We just keep a few. We could end up with, I think a little chiddush that you can say kaddish with a mezumah, not a minion. But a mezumah is also good. Just a few, the brown, the pound, the brave, and that's it. Of course, if I don't give you some heat, you might also leave. That I can give you. Heat will give. Heat will give you. Heat will give you. Heat will. At any rate, so that's the first level of tshuva, which is not a level of tshuva at all. It's nothing. Second kind about tshuva is the person who fights. He's in a constant struggle against the Yetzirah. His Yetzirah is constantly attacking him. Every time he thinks he wins, he loses again. He says, he's fighting. And he knows what Hashem hates, and he hates the things Hashem hates. But the Yetzirah is always pushing him to go against the Ratzon Hashem. And he yearns and lusts to do Averis. And he tries to bridle his mouth and bridle his, and lock his hands. So sometimes he wins, sometimes he loses. So, sometimes. He at least locked in the struggle. The first guy wasn't even struggling at all. The first guy never fought back against the Yetzirah. He just doesn't sin when there's no opportunities to sin. So he thinks that it's tzaddik. That's worthless. This fellow, when there's opportunity to sin, he fights. But he's not fighting with his whole heart, and he's not absolutely committed. So sometimes he wins, and sometimes he loses. So his life is one long battle. So his tshuva is not shlema, and he has to make a commitment. In other words, tshuva shlema, you can't say, well, when the Yetzer comes, I'll fight. You have to be prepared in advance. That's his problem. The problem is, the reason why this is not tshuva is because it doesn't come with a preconceived attitude, commitment, I will not sin, period. Aveira has no place in my life. It cannot be. I will never, ever sin. It's just not going to happen. It's not the pshat that if I'll sin, I might win. I'll sin, I'll feel, it's bad, but, you know, I can live. I can live like, no, I can't live. The thought of sinning against Hashem is the pshat that I have no right to live. Hashem created me to serve Him, not to defy Him. And I make my mind that it's not shayach. I cannot defy Hashem. It's just not going to happen. I will not let it happen. I cannot give in to the Yetzirah. I cannot lose. It's life or death struggle. If I lose, I'm dead. If I lost mamish, I something of me has been cut off, it's been amputated. I am mamish. It's gefährlich. I can't lose. I must make a commitment before that I'm not going to lose. So, unless you do that, he says, you're only a halba bal tshuva, slight bal tshuva. The third bal tshuva, he says, is the tshuva where the person says, you know what? And I didn't even know what tshuva is. I better learn, number one, chayvus levavus. That's the first thing I do. There's rules over here. It's not shy. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to drive a car and I say, well, I'll try not to get in accidents. I'll teach myself how to drive. You got to know the rules of the road. I'll try to avoid accidents. Either going to follow the rules, not going to follow the rules. So sometimes I put on the seatbelt, sometimes not. Sometimes I go 55 miles an hour, sometimes I go 85 miles an hour. I'll take my chances. That's the second guy. The second guy is sometimes he obeys the rules, sometimes, it depends on his mood. He has mood swings. He's manic depressive. We're all manic depressive, you know. You think that the Dr. Heller is just treating all the people who are, everyone's manic. We're all meshuggah. Half of the time, at least. Sometimes we're going 85, sometimes we're going 45. Depends on our moods. It's on our mood. Depends on the mood. No, that's not about tshuva. So I'm a good driver. You're not a good driver. You're a selectively good driver. Sometimes you drive drunk. Sometimes you don't. When you feel like getting drunk, you drive drunk. Sometimes you don't. Sometimes you do. That's not good enough. You have to think, I don't drive drunk. Now, I am sure, I think that everybody in this room has made a commitment not to drive drunk. That's one of the few sins I haven't done yet. I don't like drinking. But I don't drive drunk. I'm really a tzaddik. So I made a firm commitment in my life, I will not drive drunk. Seatbelts, 90% of the time. Getting a little older, I'm getting a little more careful with those seatbelts. I'm getting pretty good at this thing, you know. I'm almost at 100% the seatbelt. Getting there. But not enough. You want to wear seatbelts at 100%. Smoking, you just don't smoke cigarettes, period. Forget, that's it. Cold turkey, no cigarettes. No drunk driving. Now we can relate to that. We can relate to not smoking here. I don't see any too many addicts, smoking addicts. Even had a little Yetzirah, drunk driving, you wouldn't think of doing such a thing, b'shagas. And I'm sure none of you would cheat in business. You wouldn't even dream of cheating in business. Like it's a no-brainer. You wouldn't cheat. You wouldn't do fraud at your insurance company. It's not shayach. Not shayach. There's certain things in our life that we just wouldn't do. Not shayach. Wouldn't be tempted to. I would never cheat insurance. Couldn't do that. So the bal tshuva, the person who knows all the rules, knows all the details, and he is magbir sichle al tavoisav. He says, you know, the war between the Yetzer and the Yetzer is really can be boiled down into a war between my mind, my rational mind, and my taivas. Taiva is irrational. Taiva is fantasy. Taiva is imagination. It's a mamish imagination. It's pure imagination. It's irrational. The only thing is the irrational works much more quickly than the rational. The Chaznish is a whole beautiful explanation how the irrational part of our mind has a big advantage over the rational, because it's number one, it's much more graphic and much more tempting, much more exciting. Graphics are nicer. The Yetzer are prints in color, and the Yetzer Tov is black and white. He's a black and white printer. He's a laser printer, black and white, maybe a little fuzzy sometimes, not even black and white. The Yetzer Hara comes in, mamish, the ultimate in printing, at the print shop, it's gorgeous, it's gewaltig, the Yetzer Hara is an absolute gorgeous color. So, bekitzer, it's a machlokes between your seichel and your taiva. I have to read you what the Chaznish says about this. I wouldn't even know I have it here. Yeah, amazing. Just that I must confess, during davening today, I thought of certain chedushim, and I ran to write it down on a piece of paper after davening, and the only piece of paper found in here was this piece of paper, and it turns out it's mamish it's a chapter from the book I've written many 15 years ago, never published, about this subject. And chapter 7 is Logic versus Imagination. And the Chazon Ish and the Amud Bitachon explains there are two sides of the human mind, and each side is the complete opposite of the other. One side of the mind leans towards stability and self-control. The other side leans towards instability and recklessness. The orderly side of the mind is logical and rational. It sees things as they really are and refuses to be deceived by outer appearances. It has the ability to appraise things properly and attaches an appropriate value to every object or action. The rational mind functions in the real world. The chaotic side of the mind is irrational, as it is controlled by the imagination. The imagination delights in making non-existent fantasies. The imagination spurns the truth and thrives on self-deception. Like a convoluted circus mirror, imagination twists every truth out of shape. In the irrational, distorted world of fantasies, the worthless seems precious, and the dangerous becomes desirable. The irrational mind functions in the unreal world. And Chaznish, these are mamish verbatim, the translation of his words in the Amud Bitachon, Perek Aleph. He describes the incessant conflict which rages within the human mind. The power of imagination is an aberration of the normal mental process, because it is superficial and lacks analytic power. The imagination observes everything on the surface and examines nothing in depth. The imagination has an uncanny ability to captivate the human mind and to convince a person that his imaginary assumptions are indeed the true facts. Moreover, the imagination gains such total control over the human mind that the mind behaves like a servile prisoner and refuses to question or challenge the dictates of the imagination. The rational side of the human mind is the sworn enemy and the unyielding adversary of the imagination. Logic warns a person that he dare not trust his unreliable imagination. Dimyon. Yet despite these incessant warnings from the Seichel HaYosher, the imagination, Koach HaDimyon, often triumphs over logic and rationality because it casts a bewitching spell over the mind. Imagination enjoys one great advantage over logic. It is much swifter. The imagination is always ready to jump to conclusions and to arrive at split-second decisions. Logic moves very slowly and deliberately. It sets up its cumbersome mental scales and weighs and measures every word and every step very slowly. The imagination takes the mind by storm long before logic has time to even plan its advance. This is an exact translation of the words of the Chaznish. Can you imagine a more incredible description of the words of the Chavos Levavos? Yetzer and Yetzerah is the war of Seichel and Taiva. So the way that I do tshuva is magbir esichle al tavoisav. Tshuva is one strengthens his rational mind over the irrational, imaginary, fantasy world of desire. And he makes a cheshma, his logic is always engaged. The reason why, the Chazi said, the reason why irrationality wins is because the logical mind is not engaged. So the minute we're confronted by a taiva, the imagination jumps right away into the fray before your logical brain has time to be a chacham or a sanayla. What's going to happen from this? 1 second, don't do this. What's going to happen? What's the totzah going to be? Is it going to be a terrible end? No, the imagination is great, it's beautiful, go for it. And logic is such a, what's that? Whoa, whoa, whoa. The logic, if the logical brain first starts, after presented by the taiva, it's too late already. So therefore, tshuva is to give precedence to the seichel and make a oisalatma, tomet cheshman nefesh. A person to walk around the whole day, cheshman nefesh. Al ken yomer ha-maishlam b'yitzram. Bayu cheshbain. Bayu v'nachshev cheshbain l'aylam. Schar mitzvah k'neged aveira. Schar aveira k'neged afseida. The maishlam, if you want to be maishlam, the eitzar, you have to a cheshbain nefesh the whole day. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. What the chayit, it can't be worth it. It's never worth it doing aveira. It's never, but you can't wait till you're tempted by it. You have to do this before you've been tempted. The cheshbain is going the whole day. A whole day we are accountants, spiritual accountants. When we're constantly afraid of Hashem and we're embarrassed of Hashem, I can't even entertain the thought of defying Hashem. The Rebbeinu Shlom is going to punish me for sure. There's no getting away with it. I'm so embarrassed. Hashem is so good to me. Hashem is so great. Forget how good He is to me. Melech Malchi Amlochim Rebbeinu Kol Ha'ilamim. Rebuying Kala, loving the nature of the Zagran, what am I? A garnished, a nothing, I'm not a gnat, I'm not an amoeba, I'm garnished, but garnished, but that the day a Kala, Chusav, and I'm garnished, and I dare defy the Rebbeinu Shlom. It was binding the Gaidel Chetav, and I think of what it was. No, the Eitzar says, it's a little chay, it's not a big chay, just a little, it's just a little chay. It's just a little sin, it's just a little peak, it's just a little vart, it's just a little sip, a little bite, Nishkeferlech, no. The whole day have to think about the greatness of Hashem and how can I dare defy the Rebbeinu Shlom? How can I go against His word? And also part of the cheshbon is chatosi negdi tamid. I have to remember my past aveiros. So the Yetzer says, "You're such a great guy. You just spent in shul. You came at 8 o'clock and you davened long davening till about 5 to 9." Then you learn Chavos Levavos. And then you had shir in Masechet Lechem, great shir today, gvaltig shir shel hakam. You were in shul for 2.5 hours, from 8 till 10:30, so don't you think, a little aveira, you just sinned for a minute, 2 minutes, come on, you've just been doing that mitzvahs for 2.5 hours, 2.5 hours is what, 150 minutes, come on, it's only a little aveira, 1 minute aveira, and 150 minutes you just did good, come on, and yesterday Shabbos, oh my goodness, you were shul for hours and hours and hours and hours and hours. Come on, a little of it. Nothing. You deserve it. You've earned it. You think God's going to angry with you? He loves you. You just spent 2.5 hours with Him. Come on. You're so intimate with the Rebbeinu Shlom. You're so hamish with the Rebbeinu Shlom. He doesn't really care. No, says the Chavos Levavos. Don't look at it that way. Sure, you were shul now for 2.5 hours. Very nice. Yashar Koyach. But let's remember all the affairs you've been doing your whole life. How old are you? 30? 40? 50? Yeah? Let's keep a cheshbon about all the hundreds and thousands of hours of Lashon Hara we've been speaking our whole life. So the answer is it's only 1 minute. It's 1 minute more to add to our huge cachet of Lashon Hara. Only one little peek added to the long hours of visual delights. Only one little page, only one little look, only one little thought. No. This added to the whole cheshbon. This is a big, huge credit card bill. And it earns interest, by the way. Because Rebbe Yonah says, every day we don't do tshuva, our credit card is earning interest on averis. Because it's a big avera not to do tshuva quickly. So if you did an avera, it's not enough you did an avera. Every minute you don't do tshuva on it, it adds to your chesin. Because you're minimizing the greatness of Hashem. Big deal. If you sin against your boss, if you say something nice to your boss's wife, you get very nervous. The boss's wife only. Coach came to the boss. And you'll make real quick to make amends and call up real quick, because you don't want to offend your boss or your boss's wife. And every minute you don't call up, you know it's getting worse, you're getting deeper and deeper in trouble, and your job is a big jeopardy. So you're going to run to call up and ask forgiveness. Well, I have to, Yom Kippur, what's the big rush, Rabbi? I'll do a better job than Aseres Mei Tshuva. I want to do Tshuva, but I got going to the season. There's a season for Tshuva, it's Aseres Mei Tshuva. Or maybe I'll wait for Yom Kippur cotton. But, Tshuva, I'm not in the mood today. What's the big rush? It's a big rush. It's like, you rush to pay your credit card. I always pay my credit cards. I never paid a penny of interest in my life, Baruch Hashem. I got a clean record. Absolutely, I have the greatest credit record, Shaykh. I don't pay any interest, ever. Once in my life, I had a dispute about something. The interest, but once I talked to the few with them, the interest ate it up for 6 months. I got a bill from them, it was unreal. Wow. I had one dispute, and I'm telling you, it was the worst time of my life. They throwing charged me left and right, and the interest going higher and higher and higher, higher and higher. It was gefährlich. It was really terrible. But I ruined my credit rating, actually. I had one dispute with them. It ruined my credit rating for who knows. I mean, it was gefährlich. I won dispute, then they just kept on adding and adding and compounding. It was crazy. I had a rental car or something. I'm mice with a rental car. And so we're ruining our credit with the Rebbeinu Shlomo. Every day we got to do tshuva. If we don't do tshuva, we're adding the fees, the charges, the fees, the penalties. There's a penalty, there's a fee, there's interest. And we're ruining our credit rating with the Rebbeinu Shlomo. We're ruining... I don't take this guy too seriously anymore. When he used to daven, I used to take him seriously. Because he's serious with me. But you know what? You don't take me seriously, says the good Lord. I don't take you seriously. Hashem takes us about as seriously as we take him. Oh, this person hops and jumps and skips into my rutzen. And he feels terrible to his naveira. Oh, I take him seriously. He's mevatel his rutzen to my rutzen. I'm mevatel my rutzen to his rutzen. This guy? Baloney, he's a big talker. Big talker, full of hot ears, a big buffoon. Talks hot, big game, very frum. His name is Foyer. He talks big, he gives big shiur, as he talks for the people, big tiger. Did he do tshuva today lately? Did this rabbi is talking so, garnish, garnish. You know what? Let the people be impressed. It's good. He needs a parnasa guy. That's fine. But we know the truth in Shemayim. And they're laughing and they're guffawing. Baloney. Garnish. They don't do his words of garnish. There's no credit. There's nothing behind it. It's just a lot of hot air. The man's bankrupt. It's empty. It's pushed. It's fist. It's a garnish. If you don't do tshuva right away, if you're not sincere, it's a garnish. A lot of hot air. Sounds good. It's a garnish. So tshuva zakti will conclude with zakti with the mamish. The bechaya tshuva the pshat that we elevate our minds, our rational minds, over our irrational desires and taivas and imagination and fantasy and all this stuff. But the only way to do that is to have a cheshbon on nefesh tamid, that our brains are engaged day and night with a cheshbon. Hashem is great, I am nothing. Who am I to go against Hashem? If I do an aveir, I'll be punished. I see the future, I see what's going to happen. I might be punished tomorrow or next day. I will be punished. If not in this world, in the next world. It's going to come back to haunt me. If not me, my children. If not my children, my children's children. We're going to suffer. I'm going to bring ruination and devastation on my family. It's going to come back. It's going to hurt. It's going to hurt. It's going to hurt. It's going to hurt. Me, my family, my wife, my children, my grandchildren. It's going to hurt. It's going to come back to haunt me. It's there. It's for real. How do I dare? Who am I? It's only a little aveira. What are you talking about? It's my big cheshbon. I owe so much to the bunch already. I can't keep out of credit. My credit rating is worthless. I'm so deeply in debt. I'm swallowed and mired in aveira. I owe Hashem so much. I'm going to get out of this. Another one. I'm sugar. Deeper in debt. No, I'm not going to get deeper. I can't afford it. I can't do it. And therefore, this person has it says that the emes about tshuva has his aveiras, the whole portfolio of aveiras. We like people love to review their portfolios every week. You know, get online, review how rich you are, how much money you have, how many stocks you have, how many holdings you have, how much real estate you have, how much money you have in the bank. People love reviewing their portfolios all the time. They feel so rich, they feel so good, so secure. Feel insecure, says Rabbeinu Bechaya. Have an aveir portfolio. That they don't have online. Do they have that in Quicken? Does Quicken give you an aveir portfolio? Keep track of your aveiras? Now that's something that we have to invent over here. Any programmers here, we have to invent an aveir program. You like that, Jonathan? That will be your chiddush, an aveira program. Keep track of your aveiras. Cheshbon nefesh program. A lifetime cheshbon will be good. It'll be very good. If you're on a piece of paper, you know, you tend to throw them away and forget them. What? It's a hard drive. It's a hard drive, believe me. It's kosher. It's a big hard. This is, we need to invent a cheshbon nefesh, our aveiras, a stream of consciousness, an endless stream. Banner of Averis, and every day that they ask Slicha Mechil, not just my most recent Avera, but my Averis from yesterday, and a year ago, and 5 years ago, and 10 years ago, and 20 years ago, and 30 years ago. Because it's going to come back. It's haunting us already. And our credit is being ruined. You have to keep a cheshbon. Okay, Rabbi Isai, these are the words. Now you know why we're avoiding Shara Tshuva for a long time. We saved this for the last.